That's it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Next case.
Our next case this evening is case number 12,506. Jessica F. Peet seeks variances from the front yard and rear yard setback requirements for proposed structures. Sections 115.82, 115.182, and 115.183 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the east side of Coastal Highway, that's Route 1, approximately 300 feet south of Jefferson Bridge Road. The 911 address is 32967 Coastal Highway, Bethany Beach. The zoning district is C1, General Commercial Zoning District, and the tax parcel ID is District 134, Map 17.11, Parcel 40.00. Staff would note that we have received zero letters of support, zero letters of opposition, and four mail returns. The applicant is specifically requesting a 40-foot variance from the required 60-foot front yard setback requirement and a 5-foot variance from the required 5-foot rear yard setback for a proposed mini golf course. The board may remember this from earlier this year, in February 17th of this year, where it was also considered for variances, and staff would note that the application has also been subject to a conditional use under reference CU 2222, which was for the approval of a mini golf course, which was considered by council on June 9th of this year. And I have a copy of the findings of fact and that ordinance if the board require copies. Thank you.
So there's two parts to this tonight. I'll ask you to.
That's correct, Madam Chair. I see Ms. Peet's coming up to the podium at this point. As the board may recall, there was a similar application that was presented earlier this year. It was for, I believe, front yard variances, combined corridor highway overlay zone variances, and parking variances. Those requests were denied. As the board is subject to res judicata laws, in order for the applicant to have this one heard, and I know Ms. Peet is aware of this, the applicant will need to demonstrate that there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plans for the use. And basically that the proposition, the court's held that it's fair to say that the proposition is that substantial changes in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property are sufficient to support a request. So what this is in order for the applicant to have the variance request heard on the merits, they first must demonstrate that there's been the substantial change. I've talked to Ms. Peet. I understand she's going to talk about that first. So, and then if the board after she's concluded that part, the board could entertain a motion to determine whether there's been that substantial change or not. If the board finds that there is, then we would proceed with the merits, at which time we would take testimony and evidence to the merits of the application. I don't know if that triggers any questions from the board before Ms. Peet begins her presentation.
I will add that as part of my presentation, I do have a thorough explanation of that again, so maybe after a second go through as well, we could also entertain any questions on that piece. May I proceed?
You may proceed.
Good evening, Madam Chair, board members, Director Whitehouse, Council Sharp, and members of the public. My name is Mackenzie Peet, and I am an attorney with the law firm of Tunnel and Razor. I am here tonight on behalf of Nick's Golf Bethany Beach LLC, the applicant, and the property owner, Jessica F. Peek. Here with me this evening are Nick Gerasmus, Jack Burbage, and Dean Gerasmus, business partners of this proposed project. Eric Kells of Macrone Engineering, and calling in by phone this evening is Kathy Prioreschi on behalf of her mother, Jackie F. Peek. Ms. Peek is unable to attend tonight's hearing safely. She is 90 years old, and her doctor advised against her attendance at tonight's hearing, although she wished that she could have come to speak about her obviously favorable consideration of the application. The applicant comes before the board with two requests as part of filing a new variance application for relief. First, the board must determine whether or not there is a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions of the property or in the proposed use or planned for use. Second, if the board determines that there is a substantial change, then the applicant respectfully requests the board's consideration of two variances from the front yard setback and the rear yard setback requirements for the proposed structures as per Municipal Code Section 115-82, 115-182, and 115-183 for a proposed 18-hole miniature golf course. My intention is not to bore you this evening with the facts, however, I do feel the need to go through the land use history on this particular application. The property is located on the east side of Coastal Highway, Route 1, approximately 300 feet south of Jefferson Bridge Road, with an address of 32967 Coastal Highway, Bethany Beach, Delaware, tax map parcel number 134-17.11-40.00. The property is the former location of Beach Liquors that has since moved across the highway. The property is 0.46 acres and zoned C1 general commercial with a 60 feet front yard setback, a 5 feet side yard setback, a 20 feet side yard setback on the northwest side of the property bordering the MR district, and a 5 feet rear yard setback. The properties located to the north and east of the site are also zoned C1 general commercial. There is one parcel zoned high density residential to the north on the northern side of Jefferson Bridge Road, as well as a single parcel zoned medium density residential to the northwest of the subject parcel. The properties on the western side of Coastal Highway Route 1 are zoned general commercial C1 and medium density residential. As each board member present this evening is aware, with the exception of Mr. Workman, the applicant is retrying this application. The applicant previously submitted, as Director Whitehouse stated, a variance application heard before this board on February 17, 2020, continued to March 2nd, 2020, requesting a variance of 45 feet from the 60 feet front yard setback requirement, a variance of 5 feet from the 20 feet landscape buffer requirement of the combined highway corridor overlay zone, and a variance of 119 parking spaces from the required 120 on-site parking spaces. The board denied all three variances requested in a split 3-2 decision that has been made part of the record this evening, with Dr. Carson and Mr. Brent Workman voting against the motion to deny the application, and Ms. Ellen McGee, Mr. John Williamson, and Mr. Jeffrey Torman voting in favor of the motion to deny the requested relief. The applicant then subsequently submitted a request for rehearing that was also denied 5-0 by this board. In addition to the variance request, the applicant applied for and received a conditional use of land for an outdoor miniature golf course to be located on the property, denominated as conditional use number 2222. The Planning and Zoning Commission recommended approval of the applicant's conditional use request on March 26, 2020. On June 9, 2020, the County Council approved the applicant's conditional use request, finding that the said use was in accordance with the Comprehensive Development Plan, promoted the health, safety, morals, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the present and future inhabitants of Sussex County, and that the conditional use is for general convenience and welfare of the inhabitants of Sussex County. By ordinance number 2713, the conditional use was approved subject to the following conditions that I will read into the record because I consider them relevant to tonight's consideration. A, the use shall be limited to a miniature golf course and uses associated with that activity. B, the signage shall comply with the sign requirements for the underlying C1 zone. C, there shall be fencing along the Route 1 boundary of the property to prevent golfers and golf balls from inadvertently leaving the property and getting near the Route 1 right-of-way. The location and type of fencing shall be shown on the final site plan. D, the applicant shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements. E, at least 18 parking spaces shall be provided for the use. These spaces must either be on site or on an adjacent property pursuant to a shared parking agreement. F, all lighting shall be downward screened and shielded so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. G, any dumpsters shall be screened from view from neighboring properties or roadways. H, the entrance to the site shall be oriented to the north and east side so that families and golfers enter from that side and are discouraged from walking along Route 1 to get to that use. That particular condition will require submission of an amended site plan to the council for review, but we are waiting to submit that subject to tonight's decision. Condition I, the applicant shall comply with all requirements of the Sussex Conservation District regarding stormwater management. Condition J, the site plan includes a landscape plan included as part of your packet this evening. Condition K, failure to comply with any of these conditions shall be grounds for termination of the conditional use approval. And finally, Condition L, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. As previously stated, the applicant is before the board with two requests this evening. The first request requires the board to determine, as Council Sharp stated, whether or not there is a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions of the property or in the proposed use or plan for use. If the board agrees that there has been a substantial change as the facts support, then I will present the criteria to grant the two variances requested as part of tonight's application. I begin with the first request. The Board of Adjustment is a quasi-judicial body. In the court of law, we have a principle called res judicata, which means that if a matter that has been adjudicated and decided, if a matter has been adjudicated and decided, then you cannot sue again to get a different result. The same principle applies to the Board of Adjustment decisions. In 1987, a case was appealed from a 1984 decision of the Sussex County Board of Adjustment, denying petitioner Hattie Collick's second application for a special use exception to place a mobile home in a residential area of Sussex County zoned AR1. This case is illustrative for the issue at hand that the board must decide this evening. In that case, the Superior Court held that the Board of Adjustment erred as a matter of law in failing to consider the substantiality of change in the proposed use. And the board's decision was reversed and remanded for further consideration. In Collick versus Sussex County Board of Adjustment, the opinion written by Judge Chandler states that the rules regarding the finality of decisions in zoning cases are no different from such rules in other areas of law. Judge Chandler goes on to say, and I quote, "While a board cannot change its decision once made, it can consider a new application for similar relief if there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plans for use," end quote. In Collick, the court found that the board could grant a second application which has been changed in such a manner as to obviate the objections raised against the original application. Generally, the burden of proof of changed circumstances is on the applicant. In Collick, the Superior Court continued to indicate that the determination of whether or not there is a substantial change is a question of fact for the Board of Adjustment to determine. The court further opined that there must be a material change affecting the merits of the application. It is the applicant's position this evening that there is a material change affecting the merits of this application, supporting a factual finding that there is a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plan for use. The application first submitted and heard by the board requested a 55 feet variance from the front yard setbacks, a 15 feet variance from the buffer zone requirement, and a variance from the parking requirements of the municipal code. That request was amended after reasonable concerns were made with respect to the safety of the golfers on the miniature golf course, considering the proximity of the golf course in relation to the highway. The February 17, 2020 hearing was continued to allow time to address some of the board's concerns and items missing from the application, including a copy of the lease and a shared parking agreement. On March 2, 2020, the applicant appeared before the board, modifying their request to a 45 feet variance request from the front yard setback, a 5 feet variance from the buffer requirement of the overlay zone, and finally a variance from the parking requirements of the code. The applicant believes that there has been a substantial change for the following reasons. First, a conditional use of land was granted for the subject property by ordinance number 2713, sufficiently addressing previous concerns raised by this board with respect to parking proposed on and off site. That conditional use permits parking on site and on the adjacent site, therefore eliminating the need for a parking variance. This qualifies a substantial change in circumstances or conditions affecting the property. Second, the location of parking has changed to provide a more sensible and safe location that will buffer the course from the highway. This qualifies as a substantial change in circumstances or conditions affecting the property. Third, a conditional use of land was granted for the subject property, previously addressing the board's safety concerns. requiring the installation of a fence between the golf course and Route 1. This qualifies as a substantial change in circumstances or conditions affecting the property. Fourth, there is a guardrail proposed to address the safety concerns expressed by the board. Fifth, there is no longer the need to request a variance from the buffer requirement of the overlay zone. This qualifies as a substantial change in the proposed use for affecting the property. Six, the entire proposed structure has been further set back off of Route 1 to address safety concerns. Seven, the front yard variance request is now for 40 feet rather than the originally proposed 55 feet and 45 feet requests. This qualifies as a substantial change in the proposed use affecting the property. Eight, and finally, there is now a rear yard variance request. For these eight reasons, the applicant requests that the board vote to approve the request to consider a new application for similar relief, as there have been a number of substantial changes in the circumstances and conditions affecting this property and in the proposed use or planned for use. And with that, I will welcome any questions on the first motion.
Any questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp, do you have anything?
The only thing I may have is if perhaps we have somebody sworn in just to affirm the factual statements that Ms. Pete made, just so that there is some evidence in the record on that.
Thank you. Please come forward.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Nick Gerasmus, 13001 Reagan Ridge Road, Ocean City, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
And did you hear the statements made by Ms. Pete?
Yes.
Do you believe this to be true and correct?
Yep.
Thank you.
No questions? I will then entertain a motion.
The word substantial, such a wonderful subjective word.
It is, which is why there's eight reasons that I think support the substantiality of the argument.
I make the motion to rehear the case because I believe that a substantial change has been shown.
Do I have a second? Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Corman?
Aye.
And I too. So with a vote of 4-0, we will hear your application for a variance.
Thank you. So moving on to the second request. The applicant is before you this evening respectfully requesting variances from the front yard and rear yard setback requirements for the proposed structures in the amount of 40 feet and 5 feet respectively. Nick Gerasmus is the 24-year-old founder of Nick's Mini Golf, a family-owned business in existence since 2015, with six miniature golf course locations in the Delmarva region that employs roughly 30 people. Nick partnered with Mr. Jack Burbage for this venture. Nick's Mini Golf is a family-owned and family-oriented business that will embrace the family atmosphere in Bethany Beach, enhance the existing commercial use, and provide for commercial growth and jobs in Bethany. Included in the applicant's submission are the Board of Adjustment application identifying Nick's Golf, Bethany Beach LLC as the applicant, and Jessica F. Peek as the owner. Nick Gerasmus and Jack Burbage are members of the LLC. The application includes the criteria for variances. Exhibit A is a copy of the site plan. As you can see, the proposed location of the miniature golf course requires the applicant to seek variances from the front yard and rear yard setback requirements. Mr. Jack Burbage owns the adjacent and rear property, 2.53 acre lot, and is agreeable to the course's location right up to his property line, and he is here this evening to confirm that if you need him to. The course is also being proposed 20 feet off the highway as a means to address previous safety concerns. Mm-hmm. Parking is being proposed in the front yard and the entrance will more or less be in the same location as it currently exists. A guardrail is being proposed to protect the course as well, and the applicants are planning to install a 42-inch fence to prevent any loose golf balls from entering the highway. Parking is provided on and off-site as reflected in the site plan, and there is a significant amount of bike parking in the area as well, and if you remember from the first application, the applicant is willing to install more bike parking as well. Exhibit B includes the landscape plan as required by conditional use approval. Eric Kells of McCrone Engineering is here to answer any questions you may have with respect to the site plan or the landscape plan. Exhibit C includes the property information card and the deed of record. As you may have noticed, the property has been in the Peak family name since the 1900s. The site is the location of former Beach Liquors store that since moved across the highway. The structure on site is non-conforming as it most certainly sits in the 60-foot front yard setback required by the general commercial district that was not put into effect until the adoption of the zoning code sometime in the 1970s. I bring this up because any structure proposed on this site is likely going to have to seek variances, whether or not it is a miniature golf course or some other use, because the 60-foot front yard setback significantly reduces the buildable area and effectively eliminates use of more than 50% of the property, an exceptional practical difficulty. Exhibit D includes a copy of the variance and conditional use land use history for this site and the proposed miniature golf course. Exhibit E is a copy of the service level evaluation from DLDOT, noting that there was no traffic impact study required and that the traffic impact in DLDOT's professional opinion is negligible. Exhibit F includes photos of proposed signage for parking and of the property. Exhibit G includes aerial maps of the property. And finally, Exhibit H includes a copy of the lease with an extension executed by the landlord and tenant. I would like to note that this lease has been in effect since March 2nd, 2020. The tenant has been paying rent since March and has continued to pay rent on the property since March for the last 10 months. The tenant produced no income on the property this year as a result of the previous decisions, and the building located on the property now sits empty. I will address the two variances requested this evening together rather than separately, considering that the same facts support the criteria. First, the property is unique. The property is located along the Route 1 corridor within a teardrop-shaped commercial area bordered on the east by Route 1, bordered on the west by South Pennsylvania Avenue, and bordered to the north by Jefferson Bridge Road. The property is subject to an incredibly restrictive front yard setback, and as previously stated, any structure proposed on this site is likely going to have to seek variances whether or not it's a miniature golf course or another use, because the front yard setback significantly reduces the buildable area on the lot and effectively eliminates more than 50% of the buildable of the property. These conditions have created a small and unusually shaped buildable area and have created an exceptional practical difficulty. Number two, due to the uniqueness of the lot, the property cannot be developed in strict conformity with the code. The property has a unique size and shape and condition, and the buildable area is limited due to these conditions. The tenants seek to develop a miniature golf course on the lot, but are unable to do so without violating the code. The unique, irregularly shaped lot, being narrow and shallow to the south and wider to the north, precludes the development of an 18-hole miniature golf course on site. The exceptional practical difficulty has not been created by the applicant. The lot was created sometime in the 1900s and has been in the Peak's name for decades. The pre-existing conditions have resulted in a limited buildable area with the existing setback requirements, and the lot's unique and irregular teardrop-shaped shape significantly affects the value of the property and any proposed use on the property, which has created exceptional practical difficulty. The unique characteristics are clear when reviewing the site plan. Fourth, the variances, if authorized, will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood or district. The property is zoned C1. The properties located to the north and east of the site are also zoned C1 general commercial. There is one parcel zoned high density residential to the north on the northern side of Jefferson Bridge Road, as well as a single parcel zoned medium density residential to the northwest of the subject parcel. The use will provide recreation for residents and tourists of Bethany Beach. Vegetative areas will remain where feasible during and post-construction, and landscaping will be installed in accordance with the proposed landscape plan. Fifth and finally, the variance, if authorized, will represent the minimum variance that will afford relief and represent the least modification possible. Significant changes have been made to the original plan to comply with this exact requirement, as mentioned in tonight's hearing. I will conclude my presentation and welcome any questions you may have. I do know that Nick Gerasimus may like to say a couple words as well before the conclusion of the presentation. Thank you.
Nick, would you please come forward?
First off, thank you all for having us today. And it's kind of crazy to think about in February. We were sort of just whispering about the whole COVID thing, and now here we sit in masks. But we have spent the past few months, as Mackenzie was saying, putting a lot of our resources, time, and energy into this project and bringing forward something that we believe is a substantial change. It did address the safety concerns with the guardrail, and I think that this is a business that complements all the businesses around it and will be good for the Bethany community. And I hope that that's what we showed here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Thank you.
Great.
Would you, just a minute, he needs to affirm what you've just said.
Got it.
Can you please affirm that everything you just heard is true and correct for the record?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the board? Mr. Sharp?
Just a couple, if I may. I know that I just want to, looks to me like the sales center. Mr. Grassmus, if you would come up so we can answer that. Looks like the sales center was moved up. Is that right?
It is moved up, I think,
looks
a bit
like
on the plan.
Is that right?
Or it flipped at least, yeah, only from the original proposed plan.
And has there been any discussions with other neighbors? I know at the previous hearing, and we have those in the findings, there were some neighbors had concerns. Have there been any discussions further with those neighbors to hopefully alleviate those concerns?
Which neighbors?
Any of them.
The ones that had concerns would be?
There was one set of neighbors, I believe, associated with Hickman's Plaza. However, I do believe
parking.
That Mr. and that was related to parking. I do believe that Mr. Burbage spoke to them after this hearing, after the previous Board of Adjustment hearing. But he's here tonight, too, if you'd like to ask him directly.
All right, we may do that. One of the things that jumped out at me was that this is going right up to the rear property line, as I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
All right. And, you know, I think one of the reasons for setbacks is so that there's this idea that you can stay on your property and not have to go on your neighbor's property. How would you envision maintaining those, it looks like the holes that would be on your property, but on that kind of property line. How would you envision maintaining those while remaining on your property? And also, how would you envision keeping your patrons from trespassing onto your neighbor's lands? I understand that's the one that you have kind of a shared parking agreement with,
yeah.
But we do try to make sure the setbacks are adhered to.
Sure. Yeah, so surrounding the entire course is a wall, a retaining wall, which goes up 42 inches would be the fence on top of that. But there is a fence surrounding the entire lot, and then to maintain that property line, the fence would theoretically be built on it, or
a couple inches in.
Yeah.
Okay, so these structures will be within the fence. The fence would be on the property line.
Yep.
If I may add too, so the 2.53 acre parcel is owned by one of the so the tenant is technically Mr. Jack Burbage and or an interest that he owns majority interest in the LLC. This particular LLC, Mr. Burbage does own a majority interest, and so he actually owns the 2.53 acre parcel and is also working on this particular project. And that's where I had mentioned in the application he understands that it would be built up to his property line.
I understand. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that we often look at
if the use
the
or ownership
is,
changed.
Yeah, ownership uh-huh. changes. This is the plant, you know, this is a development issue.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And also looking at the structures that you have in the front yard, there appears to be a bit of a gap, and I'm trying to read this and I apologize, my survey is a little blurry. But there's a dotted line that appears to be what you're looking for from your variance proposal. And it would appear that your structures are off that line of, I can't tell how far that is.
is it, are they not being built to the...
Everything would go inside of that line.
Okay.
It's essentially when you build the miniature golf courses.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess what I'm looking at is if you're asking for 40 feet, or to be a 40-foot variance, I guess, and now this thing looks like it's probably a few feet off of that, is, I just want to make sure we have the numbers right as far as what you're looking for, and that, you know, there's not a way to pull that off the rear property line also.
I think that that one piece, I guess it's hole 10, I think is that structure right there, I guess would technically be pond or part of...
So the way these are built also is essentially you create the box, the outline first, and then the builders of the miniature golf course who pour the concrete for the holes will come in afterwards. So everything will be inside of said line because it's happening after the fact, if that makes sense.
Perhaps as part of the final site plan submission, though, we could make sure that it looks as though it appears on the line or up to that dotted line. Would that maybe address the concern?
Well, you know, I don't have a vote here. This is the board. Uh-huh. The board does so, but I know that one of the things that the board historically has looked at is when things are on a property line. You know, the minimum variance is what you have to prove. You know, mm-hmm. is there a way to avoid that? And I understand the concerns that you have raised. The last one that I have is in looking at the conditional use approval. Mm-hmm. It says at least 18 parking spaces on this lot and adjacent lands, and this plan appears to have 7 spaces here. I recall that there was a shared parking agreement that I believe you referenced, Ms. Pete, mm-hmm. on the, I presume, the property to the east. Is that right, Mr. Burke?
It's that 2.53 acre parcel. Mm-hmm.
Now, how, if there's a fence all the way around it, how would the patrons who are parking on that space, how do you anticipate them accessing the site?
I have to have an entrance off the back
to
side,
to the north, where the sales building is. It would come around from that side.
And so there'd be like a pathway on the northern side?
The parking lot is on the north side there.
Uh-huh.
And then walk up the building. And that's why the building was actually flipped to fit that entrance,
okay.
that direction.
All right, I was just trying to figure out if you were boxing those folks in from getting to the site, and wanted to make sure if they were there that they had a clear pathway to access the facility.
Okay.
Okay, I have no further questions. I don't know if that triggered any other questions or comments from the board.
Any questions?
No.
No? Okay, is there anyone here in favor? Well, there was a question of Mr. Burbage about the neighbors. Do we want him to come forward? And
certainly the board can bring
him. If he could come forward and be sworn in, please.
Okay.
That he talked to the neighbors and Mr. Burbage, would you please come forward?
The question was
if
he's
got to be sworn in for.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
John Burbage, 9919 Stephen Heater Highway, Berlin, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, sir.
Great. So to repeat the question, please let me know if it's incorrect or inaccurate. Did you have an opportunity after the last hearings to speak with any of the surrounding neighboring properties about the proposed use?
I did talk to the people who objected last time,
okay.
and talked to them at length afterwards. And I thought that I can't speak for them. But I thought that we had resolved the issues that we had.
Okay.
And I've also, before that, talked to the people at Mickey's Crab.
Okay.
Talked to one of them. They didn't have any opposition.
Thank you.
Great, thank you.
Mr. Sharp?
Just two very brief ones. Ms. Pete indicated that you are the owner of the property to the east of the site. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And is it your position that you do not have an issue with the proposed rear yard setback of 5 feet, so that it would be on the property line?
That's correct.
And is there a shared parking arrangement that allows for at least 11 parking spaces to be used for this
golf course on your other lands?
It is.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone here in favor of this application? Juan, would you like to come forward and speak?
Good evening.
State your name and address for the record.
Dean Gerasimus, 13001 Reagan Ridge, Ocean City, Maryland.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
I just came up, obviously, related to Nick. My part of the job is the PR job, and there's a lot of questions about the neighbors, and that's where I fit in, and I just want to let you know the excitement for the neighbors is incredible. The restaurants, Dunkin' Donuts in particular, but all the local restaurants want to work, and they're going to be sending people back and forth. There's a lot of networking in between them, and they're very excited about having a family-type business there. They think it's a need. We have run into absolutely nobody that's negative. And when you were referring to the one person that spoke out, I believe that was in about parking originally months ago, and that, of course, was resolved in the last hearing. So nobody was against at all with actually the actual thought of a golf course there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Operator, is there anyone on the line who wishes to speak for or against this application?
If there's anyone on the call that would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. I have one caller on the line. Caller, please, your line has been unmuted. Please state your name and address.
Yes. Hello?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm not used to it. Yes, my name is Kathy Friaretti. My address is 35229 Over Falls Drive North in Lewis, Delaware. Speaking on behalf of my mom, Jessica Keith, and our family.
And before you start to testify, can you just do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Oh yes.
And for the record, just because we have you on the phone, could you spell your name so that our recording secretary has it accurate in our notes?
I understand. Susan Paul, R I O R E S T H.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the opportunity. My mom is 90 and we just couldn't get there this evening. I've learned so much from listening to this and had no idea that I spoke, purchased this property in the late 1970s. And I keep hearing myself, but anyway, they worked and we worked as a family at our business, Beef Package. And then we made the transfer to a family, which we felt wonderful about, because for us, that property really is more than just dirt and cement. It means very much to us. And so it went to another family. And that's why we felt so blessed to have this opportunity with Mr. Burbage to do something that's community-oriented. And will mean a lot to the community. And I don't know a lot about the variances and all those things. It's things my parents didn't even know about. But I appreciate how our representatives are working for us, and I hope you'll consider making this happen.
Thank you. And they purchased it in the 1970s? Is that what you said?
Yes, ma'am. I think it was the late 70s. And by the way, it was quite a battle for them because they had never even won a liquor store. But it turned out that way. But it was a huge, kind of like what we're doing here. And but my mom is a trooper. Let me tell you something. She'd be there if she could. But her doctor said, please, I beg you. And please, just stay home and stay safe. But yes, it was the late 70s. And I think probably it was like 1980, or I don't know for sure, because I was in Arizona. But my folks worked so hard, and it matters to us that it's something that will keep giving to the community. That's what matters to us.
Well, thank you very much.
I just wanted to say that, but when I listen to all this stuff, I think what I have to say is probably quite right. So.
We're so glad you could call in and we could hear from you. Thank you very much.
It just comes from the heart.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
If there's anyone on the call that would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. At this time, we have no more further callers that wish to speak.
Thank you. Do you have anything else? No other questions?
I got a question for Mr. Sharp.
Okay.
Mr. Sharp, if we, because this vote was very close last time, if we were to table this for Mr. Workman to come in to vote on this, could we do that based on the vote we've already had tonight?
Yes.
To reopen
this? Yes. The board as a collective whole has determined there's already been a substantial change. So that determination has been made at this point. The issue before the board would be whether or not the variance should be granted or not. Mr. Workman would just need to do what we've done in the past, which is review the record, the state that he's done so, and vote on the record that we have.
Before we move on, I just want to applaud the applicant for going back to the drawing board and getting off of Route 1 even more.
Mm-hmm.
On my phone, on the news part of my phone a couple weeks ago, there were two children killed in a crash at a Florida Panhandle mini golf course. It was right on the road. So I do applaud you for going back to the drawing board and doing the best you can. So with that, no other questions, I will.
If I may, very quickly, just because ordinance for the conditional use has been referred to, and with Mr. Sharp's agreement, I'd like to distribute copies of this before we close the record with your agreement.
It's on our.
I believe what you have is the letter that was submitted. And this is the actual formal ordinance that was presented. I know Ms.
I have both of those on our online.
If they've been submitted, there is no need.
I think that there is actually a supplemental packet as well.
We got that.
Right, okay. That was submitted to the board members.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Pete.
No other questions? I will then close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Madam Chair. I would like to make a motion that we table case number 12506 of Jessica Peet until the next meeting of next year, I believe January the 4th it is.
Yeah. I have a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Corman?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Nay.
And I vote no.
So because of that, the motion to table has failed. You need three votes for majority for that. So
would you like to make another motion?
I will note that to approve a variance, you do need three affirmative votes.
Madam Chair, I move that we approve case number 12,506 for the requested variances. I believe the property is unique. I believe that a practical difficulty has been created. I believe the essential character of the neighborhood will be improved and that it's the minimum variance necessary.
And Dr. Carson, I heard you say the exceptional practical difficulty has been created. Do you mean has not been created?
Has not been created. Yes.
Thank you.
I'm sorry.
I have a motion. Do I have a second? Well, can I step down?
You are able to pass the gavel if you wish to Mr. Williamson, who is the vice chair for the motion.
I'll make a second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Dr. Carson?
Voting yes for my reasons.
Mr. Corman?
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Williamson?
Nay.
And I vote yes. So a vote of 3-1, your application is approved.
Thank you.
Next